streets don't love you back. Stay tuned every Wednesday at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 8:30 Pacific, with your hosts, Roy and Lucinda, for the hottest talk show in existence. The streets don't love you back.
Good evening, and welcome to the Streets Don't Love You Back radio show. I'm your host, Lucinda, with my co-host, Boyd. And our topic is, as always, The Streets Don't Love You Back. Join us every Wednesday night with real people, real stories, and real changes. As we hear the truth about gangs, drugs, violence, abuse, and other life issues. We have a great show for you tonight, so stay tuned in to the hottest radio show worldwide.
Hello, everybody, and tonight we're going to be talking with Roosevelt Sargent. Now, Roosevelt was born into a violent, drug-infested, poverty-filled world that only got worse as he grew older. With his parents' incarceration, his journey through homelessness, and the thug lifestyle that surrounded him daily, the smart money was on him, not living to even reach the age of 18. Add in teenage parenthood, and his brief future seemed predetermined. But one day, something happened that would change him forever. And from then on, he was a new man. Sargent became a published writer and nationally and internationally distributed music projects. And he spent over 15 years traveling and sharing his story to inspire hope in the lives of troubled youth across America. During this time, he also founded a neighborhood youth center in Southern California, where he selflessly served his local community. And now he is publishing his first book called Victorious Underdog. So from the dead man he should have been to the inspirational man he was meant to be, Roosevelt Sargent is the victorious underdog. So we're going to talk to him tonight and hear his story. But before we do that, let me welcome Boyd to the show.
Hey, hey, ladies and gentlemen, and I thank everybody for tuning in every Wednesday night like y'all do. We want to just thank our guests for coming on tonight. And without further ado, I'm going to let my wife start off with the interview, and we thank you for joining us.
All right. Welcome, Roosevelt.
Hey, how you guys doing?
We're good. Thank you for coming on the show tonight to share your story and what you're doing now to help others. Tell us your name again, where you're from, and a little bit about, tell us how you grew up, where you grew up, and some of the things that were going on back then.
All right. Well, my name is Roosevelt Sargent, and I'm originally from Stockton, California, which is Northern California. But I grew up in, like, between Stockton and Seattle, Washington, back and forth a little bit in my younger years. And spent some time in Los Angeles, in the Los Angeles area. I was there for about 15 years before I ended up in Texas, is where I'm at now for about the last little over 5 years. But my story is about, it's basically my life story. It's my complete life story in Victorious Underdog. But the story is unique because there's a lot of things that are plaguing the youth of our generation. And crazily, I was touched by all of them. From bullying, which is a big issue and has been a big issue for a long time. I dealt with bullies growing up. Both of my parents were incarcerated. The issue of poverty and homelessness, I dealt with that. Gangs, gang-related activity, gangs, the underage use of drugs, teenage sex, and pregnancy, and, you know, having a child at a very young age, you know. So I was touched by all those sets of circumstances, and I was able to overcome them all and become a productive citizen in society. And because I did that, you know, I wanted to share my story with everyone, and I just want to inspire young people so that they can understand that no matter what they're going through, no matter what hand they were dealt, they can stand up and they can go forward and be productive.
Exactly. That's amazing. So go back to when you were a kid. Tell us a little bit about some of the things that were going on and how you felt about the things that you saw around you as a child.
How I felt like there was something, there was always something innate inside of me that knew. I always knew I was different, and I always knew that there was something better in life. I just never knew what it was, but I was always surrounded by the worst of circumstances. You know, like I said, being very young and watching my mother and father being taken away to prison. I remember when I got off, there was one day I got off the school bus. I was 4 years old, and my house was surrounded by police cars. And when I walked into the house, my mother, my father, my auntie were all standing there in handcuffs, and they were being arrested and being taken to prison. And that is about my earliest memory. And I remember my life changed that day. And from that day forward, it was just a wild roller coaster ride of extreme situations and circumstances. But what I can say is that I understand now that God had a purpose for my life, and I never understood while I was going through it. But, you know, while I was going through it, I thought that was life. You know, when you're a little kid, you're 4, you're 5, 6, 7, 8 years old, you don't know that things are bad. You just think it's life.
Right.
So I just thought,
that's all you know.
That's all I knew. So I didn't know that my life was bad. I just thought I was doing what everybody else was doing. I thought life was what it was supposed to be. So I was kind of numb to all of it. And actually, crazy thing is, as I started writing this book, I've been writing this book, this has been like a 3-year journey for me, but this book, as I dove into it and started interviewing family members and finding out, you know, different things, this is when I really realized, man, this was a pretty dysfunctional situation for me. I always knew it was crazy, and I always knew that God had delivered me from some things, but actually sitting down and going through it recently right now is, you know, just the last few years is when I really was awakened to the fact that it was all so dysfunctional, and it was only a miracle that I survived it all, you know, and I feel like that God numbed me and equipped me and strengthened me to handle all those situations so that I could tell the story and be an inspiration to those that need it.
Right. There's some that will fall into that trap, and then there's others that are overcomers and get through it and become something great.
Absolutely.
And that's what you've done. So that's great because, yeah, your book definitely tells a story of a lot of dysfunctional things going on. And as a child, anyways, you know, to have your parents in jail and you're going back and forth from auntie to auntie or grandma to auntie, and you kind of were just back and forth and even homeless for a period of time with your mother, right, when you were homeless?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. I was with my mother and father. It was at a time when my pops was out of prison. And when he got out, things did not, you know, get any better. They actually got a lot worse for us when he got out. And then they together, my mom and father, drug us through a homeless situation. And I had to live through that. And it was pretty terrible. But, you know, I see a lot of the things that's in my heart right now to do, help the homeless, help the hungry, things like that, are all things that I've experienced. You know,
right.
So I feel like that was purpose for me.
Exactly. Well, everything you went through has purpose. And this last 3 years for you writing your book has been a big healing. Because once you go through your life and you relive and you tell these stories, you know, at one point in your life as a young boy, you hated your father for him not being there and not taking care of you, not doing things for you. But later in life, you were able to say, I forgive you and I love you.
Absolutely.
So that's, you know, you grew a lot and you learned a lot and you overcame a lot. You really did.
Yeah. And the cool thing about that, speaking on that, is it wasn't just a forgiveness. It wasn't just, I forgive you. It was something that, it was purposed for me to understand what real forgiveness is. Because if you read the book and you see the story and you see all the things that he took me through, and the beef that we had was real, and it was warranted because because of all the drama that he took us through. But when God sat me down and said, you need to forgive this man, you know, I had to realize at that moment, I had to realize all the things that I had been forgiven for, you know. So that's what got me on that path of going back to him. And it wasn't saying, you know, I'm not saying I want you to forgive me, Pop, so that God forgive me and then I can move on. I mean, yeah, but it was real. And God gave me a supernatural ability to really forget about all the hard times that he put us through, really forgive him, really love him, and really be his friend again. And the capacity to forgive at that level, nothing right now can get to me. I mean, there's nothing that anyone can do to me that I cannot forgive because of those circumstances, you know?
And I can see all the things in the life that he did or didn't do for you. But there's one thing that he did, and I'm not going to mention it because I want people to read your book and see it there. But there's one thing that he did later in life that I have to say that it took a big man and a man of God to be able to forgive, because that's something that most people would never forgive.
Absolutely. And that is something that there's a lot of people, like I spent a lot of years sharing my testimony. And that is one of the things that I left out because I just wasn't comfortable talking about it. You know what I mean? And it's very difficult.
That brings the whole story, though, that to the very end. It was a very dysfunctional family.
Right, yeah. It was dysfunctional all the way around the board, man. But, you know, I'm here for a reason. So my life has purpose, and I am going to fulfill that purpose.
All right. So even as a teenager, you liked playing music, hip-hop. You got into eventually, tell us a little bit about that, how you got into to play music, but then you got in later to Christian hip hop and rap.
Yeah, absolutely. I've been a hip hop head ever since the beginning of it, you know. I was the type of guy that would walk around with a Walkman and headphones on everywhere that I went, and just music was a big part of my life, you know, and especially hip hop. That was my thing. So when I got saved, I got into Christian hip hop, and I was actually one of the early pioneers of Christian rap music. And I was involved in a group called Christside, and we did that thing, man. And we went out and we shared our testimonies through our music. We saw a lot of young people come to Christ because of it. And I was just actually online just a few minutes ago before I got on the phone with you, having a conversation with some other guys that are talking about they're into it now, and they watched us when we were kids, you know, but when they were kids, I mean. So, but definitely played a role in what's going on with Christian rap today. I was a part of executive producing one, the first Christian rap group that ever stood on the Soul Train stage, the CL Riders.
That's right.
And that was pretty big. And how
did that feel to be on Soul Train?
Man, it was pretty amazing, you know, I mean.
Because you were on with En Vogue.
Yep, we were on with En Vogue.
What year was that?
Ooh, what year was that? That was, I might be wrong, but I'm guessing like it was 04 or 05, somewhere around there. It was back then, and it was a lot of fun, and it was amazing. You know, I remember we walked into the dressing room, and you know, you see it on TV, but we had the star on the door, and it said CL Riders, and right next door was En Vogue, and you know, we were hanging out with them in the green room, and we were there with Don Cornelius. I stood next to Don Cornelius as he produced the show, and we talked, and it was pretty nice. It was a blessing to see.
That's great. Now, I want to talk about one thing that, you know, and it doesn't matter if you're in, you know, Christian rap or hip-hop or any kind of music. When you get a producer or a music label or somebody that wants to recruit you, you have to be very careful. about reading your contracts. You know, we tell these young kids all the time, you need to know business. You need to go to school and get your education so that you understand these contracts and what you're actually getting yourself into. Because you guys signed on, and then you found out that they really messed you over. You didn't know the whole truth.
I have a great education in that, and that just the school of hard knocks.
Yeah, exactly.
I learned the hard way, and you are absolutely 100% right. It's a tough commentary to repeat, but it's just because it's the Christian industry don't mean it's going to be any better for you.
Right.
It was very difficult. We ran through a lot of people. We dealt with a lot of snakes, and we had some bad contracts, you know, and we had to learn the hard way when it came to that. You definitely have to pay attention to what's going on. But I think that where we are in history right now, the independent artists are in competition with record labels and things like that. If you know what you're doing and you're doing it for the right reasons, you really can get away with not rolling with a label these days, you know.
Right.
Big label.
Yeah. The way things have changed, you know, you can upload your music to anywhere in the world now. So.
Exactly.
Same with.
I like to tell the young dudes that if you know what you're doing it for, and you really need to know why you're doing it, and you just need to stand firm on that, because bad days are going to come, and if you're not rooted and grounded in the reason why you're doing what you're doing, you'll quit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
If you know why you're doing it, and you know that God has called you to do it, and there's a bigger reason for why you stand on that stage, then come what may, you're going to stand and you're going to fight and you're going to keep going.
Right, exactly. You know, as I was reading your book too, a lot of things that happened in your life, it kind of coincided with the same thing as Rob. And I'll bring him on here in a second. But he, like you, had conflict with his father all of his life and was in the drug life and the music life. And he had a son at 15. You had a son at 15. Or you had a daughter.
I had a daughter, yeah.
Your first son, yeah. But at 15. So I told him, I said, you know, you probably understand him really well because you guys kind of went through a lot of the same things. And I'm going to let him talk a little bit about that and with you. Are you there, Rob? Rob? Can't hear you. Are you on mute?
No, can you hear me now? I should be here.
I can hear you now. There you are. All right.
Thank you for being on the show tonight, my friend. Interesting story.
Oh, man, thanks for having me. I appreciate it. This is actually my first interview since the book has been out, and it actually just came out like a couple of days ago, but we talked before that.
Oh,
but I appreciate it.
To have you on the show then. You know, it's all good. Give the viewers that website where they can go purchase that book at as well.
You can get all the information from victoriousunderdog.org, and the book is available right now on amazon.com. It's available for Kindle right now. 1 week from today, it'll be available for physical copies. You can order your copy, and they'll have it to you in a couple of days.
That's what's happening right there, you know. And, yeah, I've been paying close attention, and, you know, it's always great to get your message out there to help someone if you're not doing nothing but helping one individual. Get his head or her head on tight, you know, that's a blessing right there. But let the viewers also know, when you sat down and you really started writing this book, what was the most heartfelt thing of writing this book?
I'm sorry, say that again. What was the most what part?
What was the most heartfelt thing on writing your book?
The most heartfelt thing?
Yeah.
Was... So, my father, it's heavily based on me growing up young. And honestly, you know how we are. I'm from the streets, man. So I'm a little rough around the edges. So you know, I know how to hold my feelings in, and I don't like to get in my feelings, whatnot. But it took me there because I had to really think back on the things that we went through, and I had to dig up some old situations and some old feelings. And that when all that stuff surfaced, I had to deal with it all again. You know what I mean? And it wasn't just my father. It was some other relationships that I had growing up, and that stuff is all in the story. But I had to dig those old feelings up, and I had to deal with them again. And my pops is he's no longer living. He passed away a couple of years ago from lung cancer. But I had to say, you know, am I going to tell this story? He's not around. But one thing about my pops, he was actually the realest dude I ever knew. And if he was alive today, I would still tell the story the same way I'm telling it. And he would be proud of me because he respect realness. And all I'm doing is telling my real true story. You know what I'm saying? There was times when I was angry at him. I lashed out on him musically. And when he heard the song, all he said was, "That's my boy." So he understands realness. So I wrestled with that for a minute. And then I also wrestled with the fact that there's some explicit content in this book. And me being a Christian, not wanting to be, I don't want to be offensive to anyone. So I went back and forth with this, man. I've been writing this. It took me about 3 years. So I wrote a draft, and it was a little too hard, and I was like, nah, let me back and make it Christian-friendly. So I changed it up again, and then I was like, nah, but this ain't how I'm feeling it. And it's, you know what I'm saying? I went back and forth with that. So I had a few struggles. You know, first it was just the actual story in itself, bringing up all my true emotions about the things that I had to grow up with. Like I said earlier, I was numb to all that stuff. I thought life was normal, but then I realized that this was really a dysfunctional situation. You know, I spoke to my mom. I interviewed some family members about some things that I really didn't understand to get some true stories about some things. And it really helped me understand who I am. You know who you are better when you understand where you came from. You know what I mean? So I got to really understand the people, you know, that spawned me. You know what I mean? My grandparents and that, you know. So really understanding who they were and what they were dealing with, that really helps me understand who I am today and why I have the character traits that I have.
My man, that sounds definitely on point right there, my friend, you know. So only thing I want to do is tell you, man, keep up the good work and stay focused and keep moving forward at delivering that message and keep educating these kids to a better life.
Absolutely, I will do. And you guys do the same thing, man. I see what you guys are doing out there, you know, the Streets Don't Love Your Back movement.
Mm-hmm.
Love it.
Yeah, we really appreciate it, my friend. Anything else, Whitty?
Do you have any words of encouragement for youth that are in the streets, maybe out involved in, you know, the thug life, selling drugs, different things like that? What advice would you give them?
Yes, man, absolutely. What I would tell young people is really to just key to success in anything you do is to never give up. Just keep going. I mean, as you see from my story, I went through everything. I didn't just, mm-hmm. you know, it wasn't just given to me. I had to fight for it. And the same way I learned how to fight in the streets right now is how I fight for success, is how I fight to be productive. If anything wants to come against me that will stop my productivity, or if somebody try to tell me I can't do something, that's when I really go hard and I do it, you know. So,
you learned some of that too from your book. When you were very little, you were not a very big kid, and you were bullied a few times in the story that you tell. And there were different times where your mom made you fight back, and your uncle made you fight back, and you learned that you had to fight back and stand up for yourself because they made you, or you knew that you would get it worse from them when you got home.
Absolutely. That's true. And that's really, man, a lot of us are raised like that. Our mamas make us fight, you know. But mm-hmm. I learned, and I use that today. And I said that in my book. I said those are lessons that I carry with me today. Now, I'm not out in the streets physically fighting, but I'm not a pushover. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not letting nobody bully me. I'm not letting nobody me. I'm not, and none of that happening with me, you know. But I do know how to be professional and deal with people in a professional manner. And when it comes to not physical but spiritual, mentally, I know how to push past bad situations and still get where I need to go. And that's what I tell young people. Stand up. Stand up and fight for your life. You know what I mean? Because people are not going to love you the way you love you. You fight for your life. You fight for your success. Even if you get knocked down today, you might lose the job, or you might get told no, or you might not get the job, whatever. Just keep standing up. Keep getting up and keep going out there and keep trying, because it's going to happen. And that is the only thing that I've ever done. That's what makes a victorious underdog. I equate it to sports. A champion. A champion is practicing while everybody else is sleeping. So when your homies is out there doing dirt or partying or whatever, you need to do what is going to be do what's necessary to get you where you need to go. Whether it be, you know, getting some rest so that you can get up on time and make it to work on time, or practicing your craft or whatever that may be. You know what I mean? So you just think about champions. They're practicing in the middle of the night while the rest of the team is out partying. And that's what we do. That's what successful people do. You know, you commit yourself. Have a sense of a personal commitment to your brand, which is your name and who you are and who you want to be.
Right, exactly. Hey,
that's the bottom line.
I think we have a few callers. Do you want to take a couple callers or something?
Yeah.
Do you have any questions?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, we're going to bring last four digits, 5046 in the building.
All right.
Yeah, you're on the air, caller. You need to speak to the guest and ask the guest a question. Last four digits, 5046. I guess they probably just listening. We'll go to the next guest. All right, we're going to go to last four digits, 7685. 7685, you're in the building.
Hello?
Yes, would you like to ask
a question?
Am I
in? You're in.
All right, listen, Victoria, Minister Patterson called me from Seattle. I'm here in Apple Valley, California. And he told me that I should listen. I was one of his co-hosts when he was doing Blog Talk Radio.
Okay.
But I do want to commend this young brother. I want to commend you two and the whole staff there for the outstanding work that you're doing.
Thank you.
And what we are doing here in Napa Valley is that my daily prayer to this young man is Psalm 71:18. I'm 76 years old, and my ministry is specifically to young people like the three of you that I'm listening to. And it goes like this: Now, Lord, that I'm old and gray-headed, don't forsake me until I have shown your strength and your power to those who will come. And that's my prayer for him, and I'm going to go out on Amazon and check his book out.
Thank you.
And I would love to I'll get your email from Minister Patterson, and I'm going to send you a copy of what we do here in our ministry. Our ministry is the First Jew Ministry. And we take Bible verses, and I want this young man certainly to see a copy of it, is that we take Bible verses and we transpose them into every form of artwork. And we have a picture, the latest picture of Jesus, the one with hair like lamb wool, and it's very provocative, and you're going to love it. And I know that you're aware that Inquirer magazine just came out in November with the real face of Jesus, and they made a good effort. They dropped the blue eyes, they cut the hair, but they left him as European looking as possible. But our picture, and we commend them for that. But here, young man, I just want to encourage you from the depths of my heart, and I'm going to put all three of you on the top of my prayer list because your work is cut out for you. And especially my heart is broken for those young people across the country tonight that was arrested today at the Black Lives Matter movement. And here in Apple Valley, Victoria, your name is Victoria, isn't it?
No, my name is Roosevelt.
Lucinda. I'm sorry. I'm looking at Victoria here on a piece of paper somewhere. Lucinda, listen, it was Minister Patterson is my mentor, and so he's an outstanding person. But I will send. I'll send you my contact info, and I'll send you some of our work. And I look forward to hearing back from you. And to this young man, all I can say is bless all three of you, and let's allow God. And I love his spirituality, his growth in the Lord. And so I'm encouraged. I'm encouraged at age 76. I'm encouraged to hear you, the three of you, on fire for the Lord. It gives great comfort to old people like Brother Patterson and myself. Now, Pat is only 63. I'm 76. So.
All right. Hey, well, we appreciate you coming on the air tonight. And we just want to say, praise God, and keep up the good work that you're doing as well. And we thank you for dropping in tonight.
Thank you, my brother, and my sister, and my other brother. And I want to say Merry Christmas to everybody.
Merry Christmas.
And Happy New Year.
Yes, sir.
All right.
We're
definitely
so
much
in the building, you know, and we thank everybody tonight for coming on. And
there was another caller.
Well, that caller didn't say nothing.
No, there's another one.
We,
there's another one still. Last four digits, 6080.
That's Willie.
Well, maybe Willie has a question. Are you there, Willie?
Yeah, I'm here. Thank you.
Welcome to the show. How are you?
Thank you. I'm all right.
Good. Did you get to hear some of the interview?
I came on late. So, you know, I actually just want to say, man, that, you know, prayers work. God is beautiful, and, you know, you keep prayers, man, in your heart, and you can go through it.
Yes, sir.
Yeah,
Willie
knows the life you live, because him and Rob go way back, but they both were involved in all that stuff, so they're telling you from their heart, too. You know,
cool.
They know what it's like.
Cool. Absolutely, man, I appreciate it.
Hey, you know, I say to all of, at least the grown men, the young grown men, you know, I'm in my 50s, so, you know, don't wait till you in your 50s to start trying to realize, you know, what you want to do or what you should have been doing. You know, you can't dwell on the past. You might as well move forward and, you know, try to teach like you're doing, teach the young, you know, because the young, it's their turn now, and they didn't have those leaders. You know, all the leaders got put in the ground, put behind bars, and turned other different kind of ways, so they don't need them, all the leaders they can get.
Absolutely, man. I appreciate that, man. That's exactly why we do it, man. We after the young, we after the youth, and you know it's working. They're coming. So every little bit that we can do, everything counts, and we're doing the best that we can, and it's working. So appreciate that.
Amen. I also want to thank Rob and his wife. Senior, I appreciate y'all on the radio show. Like I tell you every time, you know, if it wasn't for you, you know, a lot of people wouldn't have a direction. So at least this way, you know, people can come and get their speech out. And, you know, for those who can't talk to others, maybe this is a way for them to open up.
That's right. Thank you for for sharing, and we wish you a Merry Christmas.
I'm sorry?
I said to Willie, thank you for coming on, and we wish you a Merry Christmas.
Hey, Merry Christmas to you and your family and to all the listeners and non-listeners. You know, may your Christmas and your new year coming in be beautiful, you know. Don't be mad about anything. You know, you can look over being mad. It's time to come together. We need each other right now. So, whether it's,
right.
You know, we need each other. So, you know, good holidays to everybody out there.
All right.
Likewise, brother.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you, Willie.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Rob, you there?
Yeah, I just want to say thank everybody for tuning in tonight. And, you know, we thank our guests for coming on tonight. And don't forget to go cop that book. And this is our second half of the show coming up. And we're going to get into our music section of the show. And we just want to once again thank our guests for coming on the air tonight.
Thanks for having me, man. God bless you guys. You guys have a happy Christmas.
Okay. Have a good one now.
Thank you, Roosevelt. Keep in touch.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're definitely in the building tonight. We're finna head to our music segment, and we on the move.
Yeah, Born Da Vinci, Shahid the Great, the Crates. What up, Vans Beats? Let's do it.
Hey, yo, I'm at the door. When I hit, I'm gon' star. I ain't with that train foolishness no more. Hey, yo, I'm at the door. When I hit, I'm gon' star. I ain't with that train foolishness no more. Hey, yo, I'm at the door. When I hit, I'm gon' star. I ain't with that train foolishness no more. Hey, yo, I'm at the door. When I hit, I'm gon' star. I ain't with that train foolishness no more. It's only natural that you had to be fair. Walking around for miles with their heads up in the clouds. I'm down to earth. Why you been birth to this verse, feeling the labor pains of fame. When my pen bursts, cries of emergency, body shaking like an addict. I can't panic, I'm pushing out the raw talent. Soar from calluses as I'm writing in my scroll. The dark side won't stop sucking at my soul. Evidently, I was put here to be legendary, to be remembered on this plane like the great campus. Hard to fix, man. If your brains in chains, I'm sending these spirits out to touch it through your system. It be like extra, extra. Read all about it. Waiting on the day for God, he gon' sound it. Everybody gon' be dealt with just lay your promise, giving the man with a bet from the tray. Yo, I'm at the door. When I hit, I'm gon' star. I ain't with that train foolishness no more. Yo, I'm at the door. When I hit, I'm gon' star. I ain't with that train foolishness no more. Yo, I'm at the door. When I hit, I'm gon' star. I ain't with that train foolishness no more. Yo, I'm at the door. When I hit, I'm gon' star. I ain't with that train foolishness no more. Yeah. It took a minute, but finally came my time for it. They underestimate my passion and my grind for this. But preparation and opportunity slow success. Don't need to be the best or even work harder. Just make my moves precise because I plan smarter. Keep it 100 business because I'm more than an artist. It's been a curse and a gift ever since the movement started. Cut off a lot of ties because most cats is weak hearted and can't hold water when it come to catching charges. I'm swift and changeable because it's hard to touch a moving target. It's politics and everything, so I run with bosses, plus a few shooters with murder, land rocket launches. We all hustlers, so we trap money and live lawless. Middle fingers to the world, cause I made it regardless. All the way to the top, I hear them all talking. So I'ma wait at the top and make the stars. Hey, yo, I'm at the door. When I hit, I'm gon' star. I ain't with that train foolishness no more. Hey, yo, I'm at the door. When I hit, I'm gon' star. I ain't with that train foolishness no more. Hey, yo, I'm at the door. When I hit, I'm gon' star. I ain't with that train foolishness no more. Hey, yo, I'm at the door. When I hit, I'm gon' star. I ain't with that train foolishness no more.
is if he really with me. I got enough liquor drove for everybody with me. What we on? The night is young, women looking pretty. We run the city, throw a stone till the cops come get me. Wave your hands if you really with me. I got enough liquor drove for everybody with me. What we on? The night is young, women looking pretty. We run the city, throw a stone till the cops come get me. Slipping lower than I planned, but I made it, man. Now I'm chilling in the sand, getting shaded, man. You can tell by how I walk, I'm a ladies, man. So don't bring around me if that's your lady, man. Making hits, not everybody playing me, man. I got fans in Japan, that is crazy, man. Cracking a smile for them haters that be hating, man. Glasses up, if you with me, baby, raise your hand. Throw up your hood, homie. It's all good, homie. We turned up like I wish you in wood, homie. Courage Young asked about me, bet the hood know me. And anybody who don't, they wish they could know me. Wave your hands if you really with me. I got enough liquor drove for everybody with me. What we on? The night is young, women looking pretty. We run the city, throw a stone till the cops come get me. Wave your hands if you really with me. I got enough liquor drove for everybody with me. What we on? The night is young, women looking pretty. We run the city, throw a stone till the cops come get me. This is what hip hop's supposed to feel like. The night is young, I'ma do what I feel like. Pop bottles like something to feel right. Keep a little bit of short, case the club don't feel right. Pretty women all around, what we doing? I see them lame, but don't let them clowns ruin. The celebration, this ain't the occasion. Popping pills in the club like we take medication. What's up, what's up? Live it up. How when you lose, give it up. Money talks, the rest shut up. So if you with me, baby, put your hands up. Come on, wave your hands if you really with me. I got enough liquor drove for everybody with me. What we on? The night is young, women looking pretty. We run the city, throw a stone till the cops come get me. Wave your hands if you really with me. I got enough liquor drove for everybody with me. What we on? The night is young, women looking pretty. We run the city, throw a stone till the cops come get me. Take you for a ride. The party gone, and the city's listening. Time to get them up high. Time to take you for a ride. Got the party gone, and the city's listening. Party don't stop till they call the cops. Party don't stop. Party don't stop. Party don't stop till they call the cops. Party don't stop. Party don't stop. Wave your hands if you really with me. I got enough liquor drove for everybody with me. What we on? The night is young, women looking pretty. We run the city, throw a stone till the cops come get me. Wave your hands if you really with me. I got enough liquor drove for everybody with me. What we on? The night is young, women looking pretty. We run the city, throw a stone till the cops come get me.
Party don't stop till they call the cops. Party don't stop. Party don't stop. Party don't stop.
Bottle, 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 b burn it down. Leader of the highway, the kid of the shove. Like the place they live and haters get you one. My gear shifted, bars raised, you get it. Pop bottles of space, like Kush, get lifted. The product, my DNA, the leader of the highway. I did it on my own, I'm getting it my way. The critics, they wanna hate, the fools, they spectate. I'm in the league on my own, my ride pad is straight. I'll be in that fast lane, twisting Mary Jane. Welcome to the good life, lead the highway.
Definitely back in the building, baby. Streets Don't Love You Back, hottest radio show worldwide. We're kicking with these hot tracks tonight, man. Stay tuned. We're going to bring you a couple more hot tracks, and we're going to keep this thing moving.
I think I'm kinda on some, so I think I need a little bit to take a rest. Got the new boot parked outside, loud pack, and I think I need the Alizé. Take a trip down Lakeshore Drive, lift the seat back, give a little go slow. She tripping cause her boyfriend called. I tell her answer cause we're mute, don't know. She go hard on the loop, ow. I took the jewelry on my neck like pink tie. I hit the rim and then I gave it to cow. I ain't petty but the chick kinda stay a while. Now I gotta think I'm gon' go. She'll another spend the night while I don't know. If I get it, hit it right, then she won't go. Trying to call her one of friends that I might smoke.
Keep it on the low.
With my dad. It's about never giving up. My name is Jada, and this is my newest song, Bring Up the Lights.
Are you down like you say you down?
Down, 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 down.
Don't
Back to the hottest radio show worldwide. We just want to thank everybody for tuning in tonight. Want to thank our great guests for coming on tonight. And we just want to say, get involved with the movement, www.thestreetsonloveyouback.com. Also, we want to give a big shout out to Snoop Dogg for rocking the Streets and Love You Back wave cap. Man, we want to just send a big shout out for you for that, because you didn't have to do that, you know. But you did it on the strength of love. So we appreciate that, Big Snoop. Keep doing what you're doing, man. Peace and love. We out. Have a great night.